Let us now draw near to the Lord in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Lord and our God, we bless thee for this, the day appointed and set aside by thee, whereby we can engage in these great and precious privileges of calling upon thy name and worshipping thee. And how much reason we do have to do these very things, for we have been shown thee in thy word to be a God of mercy and of mighty power and holiness and justice and righteousness. We see that revelation that was given and made of thyself that draws our worship and our praise, promoting that reflection that the one who has spread out the heavens simply by speaking the word is the very same one who has numbered the very hairs of our head in such minute detail. And as we've journeyed through this past week and the days of our years thus far, so we have been confronted with thy provision for our every need along that journey. And may we therefore summon all that is within us, as well as joining all of us together to praise and worship and glorify thy name. We thank thee, O Lord, for the way in which in countless ways thou hast opened thine hand and we have received of thy bounty. For the innumerable ways of guidance and thy perfect wisdom in ways that we would never have expected and were totally surprising to us. For the way in which thou hast, on a scale that defies our hope and our dreams, thou hast met with us and blessed us and enriched us. May we therefore, O Lord, come before thee, bringing with us the sacrifice of praise, not just the posture of the body or the outward performance of worship as seen by men, but Lord, our concern and our care is that what we bring before thee would be acceptable to thee, our Lord and our God. And so as we come, we ask that thou wouldst come in with us. May thy blessing be our experience as we sing the praise, as we read thy word and meditate upon it. Lord, for these moments, still the clamour of the world round about us, wanting attention and access to our lives. Still us, O Lord, that we might all the more hear what thou hast to say to us, that we might take it and apply it to our lives. We ask of thee, O Lord, that we might indeed meet with thee around thy word, be encouraged from it and by it, and that we might live different lives from this day onward from what we have received and heard from thyself. And in all of our approach before thee, we are conscious, O Lord, of a need of forgiveness and of pardon. For our lives, even at the very best, are inconsistent and come far short of thy requirement set before us. We indeed know thine amazing grace and the wonder and depth and height of thy love. But yet, O Lord, there have been times when we have been less than we ought in applying these very simple truths to our lives. And we have slowed down, gone sideways, been cold. So many different experiences have come upon us when temptation has been set so alluringly before us. When we have listened to the suggestions in our soul from the enemy of our soul. These and so many more, O Lord, we're conscious of, but so many more arise before thyself. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst look down upon us, thy people, and all who gather just as we do in like manner today. Look down upon us, Lord, and cleanse and forgive our sin, because the only argument that we have, the only foundation on which we can stand, the one on whom we boast and rely utterly and completely, is the one of thine own providing, the Lord Jesus Christ. For his sake then, O Lord, we ask of thee that thou wouldst hear us and come in with us and bless us. Not only do we come as a worshipping people, but we come also, Lord, as a praying people, because there are concerns that weigh heavily upon us, very personal, very close concerns for our own immediate families, young ones and old ones alike, for those with whom we have journeyed many's a day along the path of life, but they are still strangers to the one whom we love. We seek to leave example and to give instruction. We pray, Lord, that these very things might be blessed in their experience to draw them to thyself. And all the while, O Lord, may we follow them with our prayers and sometimes with our tears. We ask of thee, Lord, thy blessing upon those who are not able to be with us here this morning, detained for one reason or another because of thy providence or been away or illness, whatever has intruded, Lord, we ask thy blessing on them where they be and are today. Remember, O Lord, we ask of thee, countless others round about us, even in our own community here, who are strangers to thee, who seek to get satisfaction in life by applying all that they have and all that they know themselves. Lord, the path of life is set, and at the very head of that path is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To know him and to set down that path that he has set and along which he travels with us. Lord, the simple but profound gospel message ringing through our land today, we ask that thy blessing would be upon it, in every pulpit from which it is proclaimed and every congregation to whom it is given and hear it. May there be a work of thy spirit and power in the deep recesses of soul and of mind, making the living word applicable to where they be, drawing light, radiating beauty from the Saviour who's come to save sinners. We wait upon thee, Lord, we worship thee, and we pray thy blessing upon us now, as we ask all these things with the pardon of our sins, in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen. I want to have two readings this morning. They're from the same portion of Scripture. That's why I want to do it this way, because they're rather long readings. And I want us to go to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 4. Deuteronomy and chapter 4. And we're going to read, first of all, from verse 1 through to 20 of this chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 4, reading at the beginning. Now therefore hearken, now therefore listen, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that you may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But you that did cleave unto the Lord your God, are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tablets. Or tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye may do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves. For you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldst be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole of heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Let us continue our worship of our God, singing this time from a portion of Psalm 9. And we're reading and singing from verse 9. Psalm 9, verse 9. God also will a refuge be for those that are oppressed. A refuge will he be in times of trouble to distress. And they that know thy name, in thee their confidence will place. For thou hast not forsaken them that truly seek thy face. O sing ye praises to the Lord that dwells in Sion Hill, and all the nations among his deeds record ye still. When he inquireth after blood, he then remembereth them. The humble folk he not forgets that call upon his name. Psalm 9, verse 9, verse 12. God also will a refuge be. As I indicated, there's a second portion to that reading I want us to come to now, back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to pick up a reading at this time at verse 21. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes and swear that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan. But you shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven to the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God assayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of other nation by temptations, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, and there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out of in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Amen. And we look to the Lord to give to us blessing and understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. Psalm 81, as we continue our worship, breaking in to read and sing from verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which did from Egypt land thee guide. I'll fill thy mouth abundantly, do thou it open wide. But yet my people to my voice would not attentive be, and even my chosen Israel, he would have none of me. So to the lust of their own hearts I them delivered, and then in counsels of their own they vainly wandered. Oh, that my people had me heard, Israel my ways had chose, I had their enemies soon subdued, my hand turned on their foes. 81 from 10 through to 14, these four stanzas then. I am the Lord thy God. Would you come back with me to the portions of God's word we read there a moment ago? And I want to look at the history of these people as it comes down in application to ourselves. Perhaps read first of all verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And then again, moving on to verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. I want to highlight a Christian experience that comes often upon the Lord's people. And we can best do this by going to a biblical example itself. Well known, when Peter and the disciples were in the boat in Matthew chapter 14, and the Lord met them walking on the water and called specifically to Peter to come and join him on the water, to stand with him there. Peter initially was enthusiastic and excited, and he got out of the boat. But when his focus moved away from the Lord and looked and was taken up more with the conditions that surrounded him, Peter began to sink. That's a lesson that travels down through the years to ourselves. A lesson that applies in a whole variety of different situations, from Peter's experience to the experiences of the Lord's people. When our focus moves away from the Lord, and we start to look elsewhere and focus on other things, we too start to sink in our Christian life. Our joy and satisfaction is diluted. Our comfort and our confidence is eroded. Our safety is compromised, and our defenses are weakened. And we need to hear what Moses said in that verse 9, take heed, take heed, take heed to thyself, and watch over your soul. And the history behind this and the point that has been made here is that the Lord has brought his people out of Egypt. He was bringing them, and they were heading for the promised land. And they came to a particular place called Kadesh Barnea, Numbers chapter 14. And this was a crucial point and a crucial place for God's people. They failed to cross over into that land. And they failed simply because they were looking at all the wrong places. Like Peter. They looked ahead of themselves, and they were aware of the giants more than the grapes and the gifts of God. They looked around themselves at their own resources and the way in which they were. They weren't a fighting military machine. They had slender resources. They lacked experiences, and they lacked any kind of fighting leadership and qualities. They were dwarfed by the military strength of the enemy when they looked around about themselves. Even when they looked at themselves inside, in their own emotions and spiritual life, what are we told? That they were full of fear. And saddest of all, when they thought about God himself, what was it that they thought, and how did they think? They murmured in their tents. I'm now reading from chapter 1, verse 27. They murmured in their tents, and they said this: because the Lord hated us, he has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt. Why? To deliver us to the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Twisted and distorted thinking about God. And we can still do the same today. We can look at so many factors. We can be distorted by them. We can be cool in our soul from them. Looking at so many different things, and our focus has moved. And Moses is here drawing them back to the Lord who has called them. To the Lord who has made a commitment on such an enormous scale to save them. guided them through all the dangers and the deserts round about them, demonstrated had promised to bring them into a land the scale of God's commitment could never ever be questioned or doubted. In the same way, we have God's commitment and involvement demonstrated to us still today. We move towards Easter next weekend. There we have the demonstration of God's commitment in the giving of his Son. The way in which the Lord has tied his reputation to the promises that he has given. If any of them falter, stumble or fail, then the Lord's reputation and character is at risk amongst the whole of the world and down through history. And so often, we sometimes just glance at these things from time to time. And sometimes we don't give them the space in our mind and our thinking that they rightly deserve and should have. Take heed to your soul. For 40 years then, from Kadesh Barnea, they wandered in the wilderness. And again they came to another crossing point. And the Lord was speaking to them through Moses. And Moses recognized the problem. Long ago, they were looking at everything and anywhere else except the Lord. And that problem is now identified and it is addressed here in these words that we read in chapter 4. And what's all this got to say to you and me today? The way that their life was sustained as they go into a new experience. The way in which their life was strengthened and encouraged as they went into new challenges. Is that not the same as we will face tomorrow? The rest of our life, however long or short it might be. To sustain and to encourage our Christian life. We must not look around or about or within. We must look above and have the anchor of our mind and our heart fixed upon who God is and what he's done for his people. Take heed to thyself. What then can we take out of this passage for ourselves? Let me suggest three simple thoughts. First of all, we must fix our mind, anchor our soul in the generous gifts that God gives. Gifts given to them, gifts given to us. Today, without the light of Scripture, people in their ignorance, so many people today think that by going through an outward performance of rituals or observance or habit or culture, by going through the Christian nation mentality, that by doing these things they will attract and obtain the favor and the blessing of God. But time after time after time, that thinking is dismantled and totally reversed by Scripture. Because Moses here starts by telling them and reminding us of what God gave them. It's not what they have done for God, it's what God has done for them. And that still stands for us, and especially it stands for us today. Sometimes we dismiss the Old Testament. People will dismiss it. It's old, it's antiquated, it's dated. But just listen to these words from chapter 9 and verse 6. 4 through 6. Is this not the way people today think? Speak not in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, cast out the enemies. Say, don't speak like this. My righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess the land. Is that the reason why they were taken into the land? Is that the reason why God is blessing them? No. There we have these words brought home to us even today. So therefore, tell us then to fix on the generous gifts of God. What are they? Ready? First verse tells us, now listen. Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live. What's the first gift that he reminds them of? He reminds them of the words of God. Later on in this very reading, we read of the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words. And at the very center of these Ten Words, there is this gift. Told us there, what's the purpose? That you may live. Again, people will try to characterize us and to put us into an extreme position. See, all these commandments, your Christian faith, all you've got is a full list of restrictions. Thou shalt not do this, that, or the other. And we've got to get it right from the very beginning. We've got to get it right and tell people, what is it that God has said in these Ten Commandments? I am the Lord thy God. And we're told right at the very beginning of the greatness of God. And then it immediately goes on to say, I am the Lord thy God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. It's not what we have that brings God's favor upon us. We are here reminded of what God has already done for his people. He has given them life. He's brought them out of Egypt. And it is God's desire and intention that they continue to enjoy that life. And to do so, he's given them this word to instruct them in that path and with these experiences. So it's vital that God's people listen to his commandments and to his words, because there and there alone is this gift to be experienced and to be had. An amazing gift of life in all of its fullness. Today people are not listening. They do it right in their own thinking. And they expect God to accept them as they are. But here we're told time and again, don't interfere with God's pattern, process, or purposes. Don't add anything to it because you don't have the authority to do so. And don't take anything away by your disobedience or by ignoring it. Don't in any way tamper with this word, because God has given it for this purpose, that you may have life. Very specifically, definitions and boundaries have been set. You don't do this, you don't do that, to be sure, yes. But the very purpose of walking that path that he sets before his people is this generous gift of life, fullness and richness. One gift, fix your thought then upon that. But he also goes on, he says another thing, fix your thought not only on the generous gift of the word, but also we're told in this very same first verse, on the generous gift of the land. For many years they've been walking through the wilderness. They had nowhere to park and they had nowhere to stay. But now they're looking across a stretch of water to a green and pleasant land. Again, we're told very clearly and plainly about this land. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. I'm reading at chapter 8 and verse 7. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. What an amazing, rich, generous gift the Lord has here in prospect for these people. Abundant generosity. And we can take that very clearly and think this: the Lord is generous to them there. And we can say exactly the same to ourselves here and now. The Lord indeed has been good to every one of us. As you go through mentally your own experiences, just with that device to filter and to sieve, you can look back as I can look back, and we can see many, many ways in which God indeed has been good and generous to us. The image of the land here brings it home to us all. Fix your thoughts upon what the Lord has done and given to you. But of course, there are conditions. Yes, he's given us good gifts. But if we just simply carry on to read where we were in chapter 10, the danger is there set out for us at chapter 8, verse 10 rather. The danger is set out when it says this: when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. That's the consequence. But so often what happens is this: beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and built goodly houses and dwelt therein, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. How easy it is to take experience, enjoy, but not be thankful. You and me, both of us together, we can see so many ways in which the Lord has opened his hand and bestowed things upon us, the land to them, gifts to you and me. And everything we receive, we're challenged. How have we responded? And what have we done to express that gratitude to the Lord for his gifts to us? We need to read our own lives under the light of these passages and experiences. We need a spiritual understanding to trace out the enormity of what we have when God opens his hand. Yes, and God's heart displays the delight to give to those who stay within the paths of obedience and to cultivate and watch their souls, taking heed that lest we be lifted up ourselves. The gift, the word, the land. A third gift that we're spoken of here. See what it says in verse 4 of chapter 4. But ye that did cleave to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. He's going back to a historical example given to us in chapter 3. 21, 22. I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. They were enjoying a rock-bottom, copper-plated safety. They fought a greater enemy with resources and experience there in chapter 3. But they had the victory. The Christian lifestyle. The Christian lifestyle is not an uncertain lifestyle. There's no question over the outcome or the result. There is that assurance given to us in verse 22 of chapter 3. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. When we stick by the Lord, we indeed might well be exposed, but we are never vulnerable. we indeed are in a danger zone. But we have no uncertainty about the outcome. Remember again these words which are so precious, often time after time to the Lord's people. They that honour me, I will honour them. That's a principle that applies still in the life of the believer. Think of God's gifts. His word and life at its centre. The land, his gifts in all of their abundance and generosity. The safety through dangers which we fight against so many enemies day after day, year in, year out. We need to be stilled. To be disentangled from the attractions and the moulding of society round about us. We need to fix our thoughts on these three simple things, God's generous gifts. But what else? Yes, we fix our thoughts on God's generous gifts. Moses also tells us, fix your thoughts on God's amazing intervention. Fix your thoughts on God's amazing intervention. The marvel of verse 32. Ask now, stop. Ask now in these days which were before thee, since the beginning of history, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask over the range of all the geography of the nations and peoples, ask from one side of heaven to the other, ask it, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard the like of it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire? Or has God said to go and take him a nation? The intervention of God. I am the Lord thy God. Remember what we said? And what is it God has done? I brought you out of Egypt. They're going into a land where there's going to be so many idols. There's going to be so many images confronting them. There's going to be so much that's going to be challenging them. And sometimes we think, oh, well, idols, that's Old Testament stuff. It doesn't apply to us today, does it? But just for a moment, ask ourselves, what is it that excites us? What is it that takes time and energy? What is it that we get enthusiastic about and prepare to make sacrifices to follow? What is it that we get involved in? And these are the questions that identify for us our modern day idols. Things that dominate us. We are today so often a cloud of doubt might come upon us. Well, is that or is that not right? Sometimes a grayness comes on things that are black and white. That's the kind of pressure we're under in society today. How do we counter it? How do we counter it? Verse 20 of the reading. The Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be to him a people of inheritance. As you are this day. Review your history. Review your Christian walk. And think again of the countless ways that God has intervened. From the very first of these interventions, when he brought you to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's broken into your life. He's broken into your history. He's done so with power and done with purpose. He's done so despite all the obstacles and all the barriers. He's done it to make you a special people to himself. Think simply upon that amazing intervention that he's done to bring about that spiritual discovery to you, to me, of our needs as sinners. The way in which he has brought us, leading us by the hand. Oftentimes lessons that we've been told but never heeded. And he comes back to repeat them to us. The way in which sometimes we take a step to the left and the right and wander here and there, and the Lord comes just to nudge us back, maybe gently, but if we don't respond, with a little bit more push and power. But the way in which he has been constantly intervening in your life and mine. Again, that's the Old Testament we've got there for us. The very same truth is given to us in Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you. Paul is saying exactly the same thing as Moses was saying. He's wanting them to be careful over their Christian life. And he's saying, I beseech you. And what's the argument that he deploys there in Romans 12, 1? By the mercies of God. Think of what God has done for you. The way in which he has intervened and in doing so has brought to bear upon your life his mercy, his grace, his love in astonishing colors and quantities. Think of these things to cultivate your soul. Because when you do that, when we do that, there is going to be a tremendous mobilization taking place. The devil knows the power and potency of these thoughts in the Christian's life, and the devil will be mobilized to try to thwart them any way he can. To weaken their effect and to distract us from their place. And that means that we've got to be disciplined. We need application to fix, the word I use deliberately, to fix our thoughts on God's amazing intervention. Remember what was said about the Lord. What does he do? He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem with discipline and determination. We need the same to see the Lord in the clear grandeur of him getting involved in your life and mine. And it's not a one-off event, because he remains involved in your life and mine all the days of our life, always guiding us and leading us in the same direction with the same displays of his loving kindness to us. The amazing intervention spoken of here, the amazing intervention we will be remembering next Lord's Day. There's a buzz in life today, and we need to keep that buzz at arm's distance as we come to church this morning. Now we're at the cross. There we were in Egypt. But the same truth confronts us, the enormity of God's doing and sending his power to bear to set them free, his son to bring deliverance to his people now. The challenge that was to the Lord Jesus Christ coming into a world that was hostile to his nature. To live amongst people that were inconsistent with his holiness. To come where God's justice was provoked at every place that the eye of the Lord turned. And yet such was the scale and the depth of his love for his own people that he did not turn aside and he was not deterred. He walked down that path. He embraced and he grasped the responsibility that was his, given to him by the Father. I have come to do the will of my Father. And what is that? He has come to bring about salvation for his people. Go back and read again that very simple question we took. Ask now, verse 32. Ask now. Have you ever seen a God who's done this kind of thing? Ask now, verse 20. The Lord has taken you, brought you out of Egypt to be a special people to himself. Fix your thoughts on this amazing intervention of God. Fix your thoughts on the generous gifts that he's bestowed. One last thought before we finish. Fix your thoughts on the mercies that you have experienced or will experience in days to come. towards the end of the chapter there, in a reading rather, it speaks about the way in which when they go into the land and they're exposed to all these pressures and all these influences, they start looking at other places and other peoples. And they very soon they forget the Lord their God. But God does not forget them. The Lord speaks and the Lord will speak to them and call to them. They're not listening. But the Lord does not pay them in their currency that he uses, that they use against him. They might forget him, he does not forget them. So that comes to a point of exile. They're going to be taken away years to come from this place. But that exile that God is going to bring upon them, it's not a demonstration of hostility. It's a demonstration of his love to his people. They've known it in the past and they'll know it again in the future. God is prepared to allow whatever is necessary, everything that is needed to refine and to return his people to himself. He will bring them down so that he might bring them up again. If in all of that tribulation, we are told, when all of these things come upon you in these later days, verse 29, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thine heart and with all thy soul. If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient to his voice. Ask that question. Who is a God like unto this God? Is there any nation like this nation? Can you find a people who have experienced such love, such mercy, such grace? Fix your thoughts on the mercies you've experienced yet and the mercies that will come upon you still. You're going to be under extreme pressures. You're going to have to sustain a battle almost every day. What then can you deploy, you and I, what can we deploy in our Christian life as we fight that battle to keep our Christian stance and our joy and our voice? Stare in the face. Stare in the face what God has done for us. His generous gift. His amazing intervention. The mercies we've experienced. Stare these things in the face, so that we can have the strong stands of his love and his grace and his mercy wrapping around our soul and hold us. Hold us fast when we are under pressure, and let us have these very same strands draw us closer to the Lord. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3 and verses 22 through to 25, we can well remember. The mercies of the Lord, they are new every morning. The faithfulness of God confronts us day after day. The mercies of the Lord, it is in the mercies of the Lord what? That we are not consumed. What an amazing thought for our soul to lay hold of. So therefore, facing intense, extreme dangers from the pressures around them and the pressures around us, to amend things, to adjust things, even to abandon things. The things of the Lord, the teaching that he's given to them and to us, the pressure that we're under today. What is Moses doing? What is the Lord doing? He is dredging through all of our Christian experience. And the Lord is bringing right before our minds great, substantial, central truths, vital for our Christian perspective for our Christian position as they enter the land of promise and as we live in a hostile and difficult society today. Watch over your soul, the Lord is telling them. Take heed to thyself. Keep thy soul diligently. Fix on his gifts, his intervention, his mercy to us. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, the very strands of thinking there laid down for us. We pray for the ministry of thy Spirit to take these strands and to fill them out and apply them to our lives, so that from our meditation upon thy word and the message we've received from thyself, we may go out this day rejoicing in thee, our God. Bless each one of us as we stand alone and apart before thee. We seek to remember these interventions in our lives. We pray them for others. We pray for a new experience of them to us all. Meet us, Lord, and deal with us in thy grace. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we ask it. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 132. Psalm 132 at verse 13. And we're singing to the end of the psalm. For God of Zion hath made choice. There he desires to dwell. This is my rest. Here still I'll stay, for I do like it well. Her food I'll greatly bless. Her poor with bread will satisfy. Her priests I'll clothe with health. Her saints shall shout forth joyfully. And there will I make David's horn to bud forth pleasantly. For him that mine anointed is, a lamp ordained have I. As with a garment I will clothe with shame his enemies all. But yet the crown that he doth wear, upon him flourish shall. 132, 13 to the end. For God of Zion hath made choice. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.